It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today is Kara Bishop with Plains Cotton Growers. But first, Maya McGinnis, president of the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, testifying recently before the Senate Budget Committee on the answers to Social Security.
Right now, process-wise, I think the single best idea out there is the Trust Act. Senator Romney has worked on this, and it's bipartisan and bicameral. And what's so appealing about it is that everything is on the table in order to get out of the special committees that would look at how to save these programs. The proposals have to be bipartisan, and you would still have the same threshold in the Senate to pass any reforms. So there's no single right way to make Social Security solvent. However, the wrong thing to do is to continue to do nothing. So we would be delighted to work with any office that's interested in working on Social Security to develop a plan for solvency. We would be particularly interested to do so that anybody's willing to do it on a bipartisan basis.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Kara Bishop. Kara is Director of Communications and Public Affairs with Plains Cotton Growers. Kara, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, again, for those who might know the name but not know Kara in particular, let's pave that road from growing up to ending up where you are right now with Plains Cotton Growers. I already know the story, but some don't. So you grew up in ag.
I did, yes. I grew up in Dickens County. So I grew up in a farming community is what they call it on the actual map, called Afton, Texas. Went to school at Patton Springs ISD, 14 kids in my graduating class. So very small rural community there. I was very highly involved in FFA and 4-H. I showed pigs and judged livestock. I did show steers 1 year, but steers are kind of like puppies, and I couldn't handle putting my steer on the truck. So only did that the 1 year. I moved to Lubbock after graduating and went to school at Texas Tech University, got my degree in agricultural communication. But ironically, this is my first job within the ag industry. I started in the automotive aftermarket as a staff writer and graphic designer, worked my way up to senior staff writer and features editor of one of our custom publications there. And then I transitioned to the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center here in Lubbock. And I was the managing editor of the alumni magazine there called Pulse. And that's where I really got into storytelling rather than just traditional reporting, really providing the human experience in the pages of a magazine was a really special learning experience, really training my brain to think in terms of human experiences rather than just data. Not that data isn't incredibly important evidence to use when advocating for a cause or organization, but more often than not, people don't comprehend the data until you give them a reason to care. That reason, for me, that I have found is most often in the people behind the cause or the people behind the business or the organization. So I was attracted to the job here at Plains Cotton Growers. I've been here since January. Moved over here, one, because I was going to inherit a great communications department that had already made great strides in advocacy for the industry. I wasn't starting anything from scratch or anything. And two, because I wanted to focus on the human element of some of the greatest people I've ever known, which are farmers. You know, I was raised around farmers my whole life. My dad sold liquid feed to dairies and cattle ranchers, and farm community was full of cotton patches everywhere and just had great people. The culture for agriculture is just unmatched, and so I was excited to get back into the industry that I always wanted to be in, but hadn't made it yet. So I'm excited to focus on the great producers who make this industry so impactful to the state, nation, and world economy, who provide our fiber in the largest contiguous cotton patch in the world, but also in some of the harshest growing conditions. And that resiliency is really what I wanted to tap into, to make people care about the data and economic impact of what we do here in the Texas High Plains. And so, actually, I wanted to tell you this, Tony, I forgot. I wanted to provide the faces behind the information of the Texas High Plains cotton industry. And so I started a new story series probably a couple of months after I got here, called Faces of Cotton, where I highlight producers or gin managers, young producers, lawmakers, or anyone who has a hand in the cotton industry can be in this. I did Guile Robertson, and I've done Tony Williams when he retired. And I've done some great people. Lloyd Arthur wrote his story. And so I've had some people tell me that they don't have a story. And as a storyteller, I can tell you that that's not true. Everyone has a story. It doesn't have to be, you know, cinematic or be made into a movie, but everyone has a great story that can relate to somebody. And everyone deserves to have that story told. It's an honor for me as a storyteller to tell that person's story from their perspective. So if anyone is interested in being in that series, I'd love for them to reach out. They can call the PCG office, and I'll be more than happy to chat with them about who they are. I know that's a long-winded answer to your question, but I wanted to get that out there because that's one of my favorite things about this job, is getting to meet people and telling their story. So.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, and it you're right. How many of us think we don't have a story, but we can look at a neighbor and say, you know what, they've got a story. They don't think they have, but we know they have, so we can reach out about a neighbor, whether it's, again, if it's not about us, maybe it's a neighbor
Sure. That
has one. Speaking of neighbors, many of the neighbors will be putting cotton into the ground. We've passed all of our planting deadlines at this point, whether it was the end of May or the 5th of June or the 10th of June. So all of the cotton for this at this point has got to be in the ground if it's covered under insurance. When we start looking at where we are as far as cotton today, what are you seeing?
Well, there's some that has there. I've had some farmers send me pictures of some that have come up. You know, the stalks are still in the ground from last season. They're not really moving any of that because there's not much subsoil moisture, so they're not really trying to break their equipment on anything. But they have planted and stuff has come up. Unfortunately, in the panhandle, the northern part of our region, there was a lot of wind and hail recently that kind of destroyed a lot of stuff that had already emerged, so that was unfortunate. But there are some that are coming up, and there's some that are just putting that seed out on the dry land and hoping for the best at this point. So
now on Fridays, you have, I guess it's every other Friday at this point, you have the opportunity for producers and those in the industry to kind of get together. Is that useful to hear from people, especially with some of them still joining, I guess, virtually at this point?
Right.
Does that help kind of give me an idea of what's happening across the region?
Yes. Those Plains Advisory Group meetings, like you said, they are twice a month at this point, and will be through about November, I believe. And all kinds of people come from the industry, you know, IPMs, insect pest management, and producers, of course. Our field director, Mark Brown, comes and he gives a report, and he travels all over our region, so he knows a lot about the planting conditions right now and the productivity and the progress that has been made, and he usually gives that report. We usually have a legislative report where Cody Besson, our CEO, usually gives a report on what's happening in Washington. Just recently, we had the new FSA state director come and talk to us about the emergency relief program and things like that. I send out an email about 1 to 2 days before the meeting, letting everybody know what the program is and the Zoom link. So if people are interested in receiving those emails, we have ways to do that. You can actually email me, or you can go to www.plainscotton.org/subscribe, and you can subscribe to our email services that way. And you can get a preview of the agenda before joining, but there is a Zoom option in case you're not in the Lubbock area, or you can come and have breakfast courtesy of Ag Texas. So, it really is, it's a great time to get together and get ideas from other producers or get a market update. We have merchants there. And I think it's pretty beneficial too. We've had some great turnouts recently. A lot of people coming in.
Let's shift over for just a moment. USDA last week out with the World Ag Supply Demand Estimates Report, just a couple of minutes left. But a couple of the big things that really jumped out at me was the nickel increase in season average upland farm price, 95 cents per pound. The demand for cotton remains there, so I guess the big question is, can we grow it?
Yeah, it's kind of a rock and a hard place. You know, you're excited about great prices, but then you're competing with input costs and inflation and weather. Everybody would love, I had a producer tell me the other day, we'd love to get a great crop. We just don't know if we're going to be able to do it. And if we do bring something, are we going to have any profit margin left? It's just kind of a rock and a hard place right now. It is nice to see the prices still staying, you know, positively high. And hopefully we'll have some producers get some fairly decent yields and they can take advantage.
Okay. We've covered quite a bit of ground, and you touched on it, talking about telling that story and advocacy as well, and you mentioned the email services. So I guess the next logical step is, how do we find Plains cotton growers digitally and on the web?
Well, our website is plainscotton.org. or https://plainscotton.org. And you can see we have if you go to the top, there's a communications thing in the menu. You hit that, you hit cotton news, and you can see my newsletter that I provide every Friday. Or you can just sign up for our email services, and you can get it that way. There are some great resource links on our website, some really good information about who we are, what we do. And we really are working hard to advocate for producers in this region. And so there's some great information there. If you are interested, the best way to get information is just subscribe. Or follow us on Facebook, Plains Cotton Growers, or follow us on Twitter, @PlainsCottonGrowers. And we also have a LinkedIn page, if anybody is interested in that, which is also Plains Cotton Growers. So there are some ways to see what we do and why we do it and the faces behind some of the people we represent. So Lots of great information out there that we're trying to put out. So that's the best way to get a hold of us.
So Kara Bishop is Director of Communications and Public Affairs with Plains Cotton Growers, online at plainscotton.org. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Introducing the industry's only rear boom sprayer with 2 height adjustable clearance. Elevate your operation with the Fendt Rogator 900 series. Explore the machine that fits for all seasons. Spring pre-plant, post-emerge short crops, and late season tall crops. Application on your own terms. And that is how you grow bold. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Kara Bishop with Plains Cotton Growers.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Find out more about Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton, bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
When Manitou set out to build the all-new MLT 737 telehandler, they built it with your needs in mind. Designed for ultimate efficiency with quick hydraulic movements, a wide range of attachments, and easier maintenance, you'll have time on your hands. And since productivity and comfort are closely linked, you won't find a better place than the cab of an MLT 737 telehandler to get the job done. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Some of the impacts of long-term drought in the West. Examples provided recently by a Colorado State University professor regarding her state.
Drought is projected to cost the state more than $500 million in annual agricultural damages by 2050, and reduced water availability will affect municipal and agricultural water users alike.
Courtney Schultz testifying before a Senate Agriculture Subcommittee this week on the growing Western water crisis caused in part by the extended drought says that projection is one reason why.
In April of this year, USDA designated the entire state as a primary natural disaster area due to severe drought conditions that are likely to persist for years.
That projection also considers increased fire activity in the Centennial State. Schultz notes the importance of research collaborations between land-grant universities like Colorado State and USDA in developing water conservation, climate adaptation, and resiliency strategies for now and the future. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.